But this morning we'd like to look at verse 28 of the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, where Paul declares or admonishes, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." Paul has just rebuked many of those in the church of Corinth for the way that they were coming to the Lord's table and partaking of the Lord's table. The communion service in the early church was called the love feast. And they would have a whole dinner and sort of conclude it with the broken bread and the cup in remembrance of Jesus. Calling it the love feast was wonderful, but oftentimes not much love was shown. There were always those piggy kind of people who pushed to the front of the line and took the best portions and were looking out for themselves above others. There were those who would come in a drunken state. And so Paul is writing to them about the manner in which they partake of the Lord's Supper, warning them that doing it in this careless manner, unworthy manner, they actually became guilty of the body and the blood of Jesus. And so he said, therefore, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. The moment we talk about self-examination, though, we realize the tremendous difficulty of self-examination. Socrates cried, "Man, know thyself." And yet, the knowledge of ourselves is probably some of the hardest knowledge to come by. So often a person is living a life of deception, and they deceive so much that the deception becomes a reality unto them, and they don't even really know themselves. I would suggest that it's not only the most difficult knowledge to come by, but should you come by it, it's probably the most painful knowledge you will ever have when you really see the truth about yourself. You can never see the truth about yourself until you see it in the light of God. You can't see it in the light of this world. Jesus said, "You are of those that compare yourself with others, and that isn't wise." Don't look at yourself in the light of this world. This world is corrupted. This world is dark. You've got to see yourself in the light of God. And what an awesome revelation that is. Why is it so difficult to know ourselves? Jeremiah said, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" So it's hard to really know ourselves because of the deceitfulness of our own heart, the wickedness. The Lord said to Jeremiah, "I, the Lord, do search the heart, and I try the reins." In other words, the Lord is saying, I often put people to the test in order to reveal to them what is in their heart. It's not really how I respond when someone hands me a check for $1,000 that really shows the true character of my nature. It's when someone has just stolen $1,000. Then the true nature begins to reveal itself. How do I respond under testing? How do I respond? And God often allows the testing for the purpose of revealing to us the truth about ourselves, which we so often have covered over to the extent that we don't even see it ourselves. God said to the children of Israel in Deuteronomy 8:2, or Moses said to them, "You shall remember all the way which the Lord your God led you for these 40 years, to humble you and to prove you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not." God put you through all these experiences, Moses said, to prove you, to know what was in your heart. Not that God might know. He knew what was in their heart the whole while. They were the ones that were blind to the truth about themselves. And so God allowed them those experiences in the wilderness to reveal to them the truth about themselves that God knew, but they were blind to. Jesus showed that he knew Peter much better than Peter knew himself. On that night when Jesus was having the Last Supper with his disciples, he said to them, "All of you are going to be offended this night because of me." And Peter said, "Lord, though they may all be offended, I will never be offended." And Jesus said, "Peter, before the rooster crows, you will have denied me three times." Peter said, "Lord, if they would kill me, I would never deny you." Now, I believe that Peter was totally sincere. I believe that Peter felt that Jesus was absolutely wrong in thinking that Peter would deny him. I believe that Peter was indeed ready to die for the Lord. And he believed that. But when put under the test, when the little maiden came and said, "Aren't you one of his disciples? Haven't I seen you with him?" And he denied ever knowing Jesus. When she pressed the issue and he continued to deny, and when the soldiers then took it up and said, "You have a Galilean accent, surely you must be." And as he began to swear and curse, denying his knowledge of Jesus, he heard the rooster begin to crow, and suddenly the words of Jesus came to him. God revealed the truth that Peter didn't even know, the truth that Peter had argued with. It is so often true with us. We don't know until we're put under a severe test. And then we discover what God has known all the time, the truth about ourselves. And oftentimes it's such a painful experience to realize the truth about ourselves. Therefore, let a man examine himself. But oh, that is so difficult, to really know the truth. When Jesus addressed the seven churches of Asia in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, to each of the churches he repeated those awesome words, "I know thy works." It's interesting that many times he had a different view of their works than they did. When Jesus addressed the church of Laodicea, he said, "You say, we are rich, we're increased with goods, we don't need anything. But Jesus said, "I say unto you, you are poor, you are wretched, you are miserable, you are blind. You see, they saw themselves in the light of the world. Jesus saw them in the light of God. What a difference it makes. It's not how I view myself that really counts. How does God view me? It's not what I see, it's what God sees. What does God see when he looks into the deep recesses of my heart? Am I like Peter, deceived about myself? Am I like the church of Laodicea, seeing myself in a different light than what God sees me? In the psalm that we read this morning, David acknowledged how complete God's knowledge was of him. Lord, thou hast searched me. You know me. You know when I sit down. You know when I stand up. You understand my thoughts afar off. In the Hebrew, the idea is you understand my thoughts in their origins. The chemicals that go together that create the electronic pulses that cross across the brain patterns and create the ideas. Where did that thought come from? Where did that idea? I don't know. God knows the thoughts and the origins, the chemicals that mix that create the electronic impulses. You know me altogether. And then the psalmist confessed, such knowledge is too great for me. I can't attain it. He recognized that, God, you know me better than I know myself. You know my thoughts before I think them. You know where they come from. You know the background and the RNA and so forth, where everything is stored and things start coming together and the idea flashes into my head. You know, Lord. Such knowledge too great for me. But then what does he do? Recognizing that self-knowledge is something that he can't attain, I cannot attain unto it, he then says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts. God, put me to the test. See if there's some way of wickedness in me. Lord, reveal to me what you know about me. It's so hard for us to be totally honest with ourselves. We as Peter so often have an inflated view of ourselves. We often see ourselves better than we really are. Paul said in writing to the Romans chapter 12, for I say through the grace that is given to me, to every man that is among you, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought. But think soberly. Yesterday, I saw an article in the paper, the local paper, of a man who had just been arrested for the 12th time for drunk driving. The chief byline in the article said, I can quit anytime I want. I would like to suggest to you that that man is deceiving himself and the truth isn't in him. Self-deception. I can quit anytime I want. And as long as he thinks that, he's going to go on until he kills someone or himself. You see, it's not until you acknowledge the truth. Alcohol has the best of me. I am bound. I am addicted. I can't stop. I want to stop, but I can't. And then you cry out, oh God, help me. But you see, you're not going to get to that cry, oh God, help me, until you face honestly the fact, I need help. I can't do it. And so with not just alcohol, but with so many issues in life, where a person becomes addicted, then they go into denial. I can quit anytime I want. I'm not really. That's denial of what really is happening. Oh, it's so hard to be honest with ourselves. It's so hard to say, I am addicted to pornography. Hard to admit that.
Oh, you know, I can take it. I watch it every once in a while, but, you know.
Oh, how difficult to admit the truth about myself. It's extremely important that we examine ourselves. Difficult as it may be, it's important that we do it. Because you cannot really begin to deal with the issues until you're aware of them and acknowledge them. In the 32nd Psalm, David spoke of his endeavor to hide his sin. He had committed a horrible sin. He sought to hide it. And while he was endeavoring to hide his sin, he tells of the misery that he was going through. The hand of God was heavy on his life. He was feeling miserable. Within him, he felt like it was the drought of summer. He was so dried up spiritually. His bones felt like they were roaring. He was finally brought to the place where he said, I will confess my sin. And the moment confession was made, David declared, and you forgave my transgression. So he wrote, oh, how happy is the man whose transgressions are forgiven. How happy is the man whose sins have been covered. You see, it was not until he acknowledged his guilt and confessed his guilt that he was freed and delivered from that guilt. So it's important that we examine ourselves in order that we might become freed from the power of sin that is damning so many people. When John wrote his first letter, he spoke of the fullness of joy that comes through fellowship with God. He said, that which we have seen and heard, we declare unto you that you might have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. Oh, that you might know this fullness of joy of fellowshipping with God. But there's one thing that hinders fellowship with God, and that's sin. So he said, if a man says, and again, here you are, the deception, what you're saying about yourself. If a man says, I have fellowship with God, and he's walking in darkness, the man is lying. He doesn't know the truth. But if we will walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship one with the other, as the blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing us from all sin. Through that cleansing, through Jesus Christ, there is that forgiveness. But then he said, if we say, well, I have no sin. Again, my opinion. He said, you deceive yourself. The truth isn't in you. But if you will confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So you see, it's not what I'm saying. I said, well, I have fellowship with God. But I'm still walking in darkness. That's not true. What fellowship hath light with darkness? If you say, well, I don't have any sin, you're just deceiving yourself. But if you will confess your sin, there will be the forgiveness, there will be the fellowship, and consequently, the fullness of joy that comes by living in fellowship with God. In verse 31 of this chapter, Paul then went on to say to them, "For if we would judge ourselves, we will not be judged." You see, the Bible teaches that there is a day that is coming, a day of judgment of man for his sins. That day is coming. God is going to judge the world, Paul said, in righteousness through the one that he has ordained. Now, God is very patient. One of the characteristics of God is his long-suffering. That is, he suffers for a long time. He puts up with you for a long time. However, don't mistake the patience of God for blindness. Don't think that because God hasn't already punished you, he doesn't see. Don't mistake the long suffering of God for ignorance. Don't think because God hasn't really judged you and brought you to task for what you're doing, that God is ignorant of what you're doing. Don't mistake the patience of God for weakness, that God doesn't have the power to deal with it. And finally, don't take and misinterpret the long-suffering of God as condoning, as though it doesn't really matter to God that you are doing that, because he hasn't stopped you. He hasn't judged you. He hasn't brought you into some awful experience, and thus he must go along and he must condone what you're doing. Don't make those mistakes. Those are serious mistakes. Those are deadly mistakes. The Bible tells us if you seek to cover your sins, you won't prosper. But if you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive. There's only two things that can happen to your sins. Forgiven as you confess them to Jesus Christ, or one day you will stand before God and be judged righteously for your sins. Paul said, if we will judge ourselves, we will not be judged. If I will examine myself and if I will judge myself, then I will confess my sins. I will acknowledge, yes, this is wrong. Yes, that was done through wrong motivation. Yes, I was not thinking pleasant, loving thoughts, but I was angry and we be honest with ourselves. Then God can deal with it. I confess it and God can deal with it and forgive me. And so this morning, we as David should be saying, search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me, God. Know my thoughts. See if there is something there that's displeasing. See if there's something inside I'm not even aware about that you're displeased with, God. Lead me in your way of truth. Because it's not what you think about yourself that really matters. It's what God thinks. It's not what you know. It's what God knows. And as the church of the Laodiceans, you may be thinking one thing and God something quite different. And as God reveals to you the truth, that which is in your heart, as he said through Isaiah the prophet, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and unto our God, for he will abundantly pardon. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Let a man examine himself. If we will judge ourselves, we'll not be judged by God. Today, perhaps this morning, the Spirit of God is putting the finger on an issue in your life. An area that you've been trying to hide. An area that maybe you're even deceived yourself as to the power that it has on you, or to the destruction that it is bringing in your life. An area that God wants to deal with today because it's holding you back from fellowship with Him. You may be saying that you walk in the light, but yet you're living in darkness. And you're blinded to your own condition. But the Spirit of God has been pointing out the issue in your life that's hindering you from full fellowship with God. He's wanting to deal with that today. If you'll judge yourself, you'll not be judged of Him. Let the Spirit of God search out your heart even now. Reveal the truth that He knows. And then you respond and react by confessing our sins and receiving the forgiveness and the cleansing and the pardon even now. Father, we thank You for Your patience, for Your long-suffering, most of all for Your love and for Your mercy. Your mercy towards us as sinners. And Lord, may we not try to deny the truth, nor may we not try to hide the truth. But Lord, as the Spirit reveals the truth, help us to acknowledge and help us, Lord, to repent. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand? If while we've been speaking, the Spirit of God has also been speaking to you, that's far more important than what we would ever have to say. He knows you better than we could ever know you, better than you know yourself. And if the Spirit's been speaking, He's been putting the light on a dark area in your life, an area that He wants to work in, an area where He wants to deliver you. And I would encourage you to respond to the work of the Spirit this day. And I'd encourage you to go back to the prayer room and just lay it out before the Lord. Come clean before God so that God can deal with those issues that are destroying your life. May the Lord be with you. May the Lord's hand be upon you to guide you and to direct you through this week. May He draw you close to Himself, and may you know the joy of fellowship that can only come when the sin issue is taken care of. God bless you and give you a double portion of His Spirit in Jesus' name.